Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Just got done talking to my good friend Lynn Alden about what the Fed did today. If you've been hiding under a rock, they hiked 75 basis points, pretty much in line with market expectations. And my first thought when I heard this is, holy cow, they just raised by 75 basis points. And the 10-year treasury went down as far as the yield. That's right. The Fed raised interest rates 75 basis points, and the 10-year treasury did not go up. And it's not like it just didn't go up to the same level. It went down. So it went from like 2.78 to like drop straight down to like 2.73. I think it's back up to maybe 2.75 or something like that. But this is the first thing that we talked about. It's like, holy cow. You would think that the Fed raises 75 basis points. And I get it. It was baked into the yield and the price to a certain degree. But by that much, I mean, my goodness, now all of a sudden the Fed funds is at 2.25, that range between 2.25 and 2.5. And the 10-year is trading at 2.78. I mean, let's think that through for a moment. The 10-year treasury is trading about 25 basis points above the top of the range for Fed funds. So the top of the range is 2.5%. It was at 1.5. Excuse me, the bottom of the range is at 1.5. They raised it 75 basis points to 2.25. So top of the range, 2.5. And the 10-year treasury trading about 25 basis points higher than that. So, and let me remind you that the Fed funds rate is the overnight rate. So you want to talk about short-term lending. So think about how screwed up a bond market is when you get paid just as much. We'll just round, we'll round up on Fed funds, but you're getting paid almost as much to lend overnight. Today is Wednesday. So if I just lent you money to tomorrow, I'd be paid, let's say 2.5%, right? Annualized, obviously. But yet for 10 years, think about the additional risk of A, not being paid back, but B, losing purchasing power to the rate of inflation for 10 years, as opposed to from Wednesday to Thursday, just till tomorrow. That's how screwed up the bond market is. And then think how screwed up the economy has to be to create this type of curve. This doesn't happen naturally. In a natural environment, obviously, the longer you go out, the higher the risk premium should be, and the more you should be compensated for that risk, therefore the higher the interest rate. But this is not rocket science, and we've got it completely twisted and upside down, or inverted, if you will. And then what's staggering is people like Jerome Powell coming out. Actually, let's go over to CNBC really quick. I think they're stating this on the homepage. So I was looking at, in fact, that was the article. I just had it up. Okay, let me go to the original that I had pulled up. Here we go. 10-year treasury yield, little changed after Fed's second consecutive big rate hike. And they have a quote from Jerome Powell. He was a little dovish, and I think that's why the market is up so high, in his comments, saying that in the future, it may make sense, it may be prudent for them to increase interest rates to a lesser degree. I think that's why you saw that the NASDAQ and kind of risk assets increase quite significantly based on what he was saying. But here we go. In addition, the Fed chair said he does not believe the U.S. economy is in a recession, given a very strong labor market. I do not think the U.S. is currently in a recession. And the reason, there are too many areas of the economy that are performing too well. So now I'm not going to sit here and claim that we're in a recession right now. I think there's a high probability that we get negative real GDP for Q2, and that announcement's being made tomorrow. I'll grant you the fact that there's a couple different ways to look at a recession. I get it. But why are we putting such a high emphasis on the unemployment rate? And this is something that I discussed with Lynn. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Well, economists put such a high emphasis on the unemployment rate because effectively it measures aggregate purchasing power to a certain degree. Because you would assume if the unemployment rate is zero compared to 50%, that aggregate demand would be a lot higher. Therefore, the health of the economy would be significantly stronger or better if the unemployment rate was zero compared to 50%. But to be clear, this is simply a measurement of purchasing power. So why is the Fed getting hyper-focused on the unemployment rate instead of looking at real income? Because you see, when you look at real incomes, they are at the worst levels they have been in decades as far as the delta between the rate of income increases and the rate of inflation, consumer price inflation. Therefore, although in nominal terms, wages are increasing, they're going down more rapidly than they ever have in relationship to consumer prices. So if real incomes are going down, what does that mean for purchasing power? Going down as well. So let's just assume for a moment that the unemployment rate is 3.6%. And let's assume for a moment that the PhDs at the Fed had some sort of formula or calculation, which I'm sure they have, as to how much purchasing power aggregate demand would be lost if the unemployment rate goes from 3.6% up to, call it, 10%. Okay, well, have we not lost that same amount of purchasing power due to the fact that incomes have not gone up to the same degree as inflation? So said another way, if the delta between income or wage increases and inflation is, let's say, 20%, especially when you look at the real economy, not the CPI, what's happening in the real economy, would that not be the same loss of purchasing power as the unemployment rate going from 3.6 to 10%? So obviously I'm just using those numbers randomly just to prove a point, but you see what I'm saying? If unemployment, which it is, the only reason they're using that is to try to get a proxy for aggregate demand. Okay, if you're going to focus on aggregate demand, you've got to focus on aggregate demand. You've got to not, you can't just look at the proxy or what you're using as a proxy and assume that they're one and the same. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, I mean, you can take it to an extreme and think if we had zero unemployment, but yet think if incomes were going up at 1% and inflation was going up at 50%. Are you somehow going to tell me that we can't go into an economic recession or real GDP can't go down to a significant degree in that type of environment? Of course it can. What are you talking about? And to add insult to injury, what happens when we layer on top of negative real incomes, if we layer on top falling asset prices? So you've got falling asset prices. And Lynn made a great point too, which I've discussed in a couple of my whiteboard videos, that the household net worth as a percentage of GDP was at all-time highs, over 600%, which means, and usually it's around 300, going back to the 1970s. So this means that the economy is highly financialized. In other words, the economy is completely dependent upon asset prices. So if you have those asset prices going down like we've seen lately, and you've got negative real income growth, how does that not have the same effect on net balance as the unemployment rate going from 3.6 to 10? I think you get it. I'm beating a dead horse here. But I'm doing that because I think this is such an important point that the mainstream economists just completely ignore because it doesn't fit into their little model and their little formula. Their formula uses unemployment. So anything outside of that metric, they just completely ignore, even if that variable outside of the metric used in the formula is a better proxy for what they're trying to measure. So let's go down the yield curve here and see what we are dealing with. And this is another, obviously Lynn and I had this conversation about pretty much all these topics we're discussing, and it is going to be an interview on the George Gammon channel. We'll probably go live tomorrow night. So going over to the 10-year, now trading at 2.78%, so slightly down on the day. Let's go over to the 1-year, trading at 2.98%, 20 basis points higher, 20 basis points higher. And what did it do today with the Fed hiking rates by 75 basis points? Oh, in fact, look at this. It was up near, 3.07, and Fed makes the announcement, and what happens? Pew! Yield tanks, fall, goes down by 10 basis points, which is a huge move. So the Fed announces a 75-point rate hike, and the one-year Treasury crashes or goes down by 10 basis points. Wow. And is still 20 basis points higher than the 10-year. And then the 6-month, pretty much the same thing. Let's look at the one-day chart. Yeah, there you go. 6-month down to 2.92. So I guess the good news there is the spread has gone from about 20 basis points, or the inversion has gone from about 20 basis points, maybe down to 18. If you want to look at the glass half full. But my goodness gracious. And it goes back to what I was saying, I think on a live stream last week, my memory serves me right. And it's almost like we're in this environment where the 10-year will go down to a greater degree the higher the Fed raises rates. Because the higher the Fed raises rates, the higher the probability that we go into recession. And the more likely the recession comes on even faster and is more deeper. You can imagine what would happen if the Fed raised to 10%, just taking it to an extreme. I think there's an argument there that if the Fed took rates to 10%, the 10-year might not even go up. I'm sure it would. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it would. But I'm just as a joke, I mean, but maybe a more accurate number is if the Fed came out next time they have a meeting and raised by another 75 basis points, should we assume that the 10-year would go up at all? Maybe the 10-year would be trading lower than it is right now. So I could very easily, and this is another thing I talked to Lynn about, I could imagine an environment in the near future where the Fed raises rates to, let's say, 3%. And so Fed funds at 3% and the 10-year is trading at 2.5, a 50 basis point inversion from Fed funds to the 10-year. And somehow Jerome Powell is sitting there saying, oh, stay calm, stay happy, or whatever. What is that saying? Stay calm, be still, or whatever. You guys know the meme. It's basically just nothing to see here. Oh, no, the economy's doing fine. Remember what I said about 3 or 4 months ago? I told you, this is one of the few predictions I made, that the mainstream media would start spinning a recession as to imply that we are in this economic boom, but yet in a recession. So they're going to start calling it a booming recession or a recessionary boom. And they haven't used those words explicitly, but This is exactly what they're saying. This is exactly what the mainstream economists, Janet Yellen, Jerome Powell, and the talking heads in the financial media are telling us with a straight face, for heaven's sakes, that yes, GDP is contracting in yield in real terms, but it doesn't matter because the economy is still booming. Square that circle for me real quick. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.